Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
All right, so what's up, people? Tim Bontemps is going to join us here in a minute. There was a statement released by the NBA just a few minutes ago in relation to the press for social judgment, social justice issues when it comes to this coming NBA season, which we anticipate, or the pickup of the season, which we anticipate will be in August. This is what the NBA statement is. A central goal of our season restart will be to utilize the NBA's platform to bring attention and sustained action to issues of social injustice, including combating systemic racism, expanding educational and economic opportunities across the black community, enacting meaningful police and criminal justice reform, and promoting greater civic engagement. We are in discussions with the Players Association to develop a comprehensive strategy on how the NBA, its teams, and players can best address these important social issues and uniquely position our league to drive action and create meaningful and generational change. Statement from the NBA.
I'll say it again. I've been saying it for a better part of 2 weeks. This is the first time in my lifetime where I think everybody who is speaking out on racism and police brutality and racial injustice is actually admitting up front that it's not enough just to talk about it. In the past, it's like, and the thing I was compared to, Mace, is Trayvon Martin.
Sure.
You know, the biggest stars in the game got on that stage at the ESPYs. LeBron and Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade. And they got on stage and basically said what everyone's saying now, but they were just, everybody cheered for him, applauded him, said they did a great thing, and then nothing changed. Now things are changing.
Yeah, now there is a chance for real systemic change. All right, and joining us right now from ESPN is NBA writer Tim Bontemps. Tim, how are you, man?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
We're good, Tim, and we appreciate you coming on. First, let me ask you this. A lot's been, in the last 48 hours, a lot's been written, a lot's been said about this coalition. And Avery Bradley from the Lakers is involved in it. Kyrie Irving's involved in it. Yesterday, the story, Tim, seemed to be that they were advocating not playing today. It seems to be more about making changes and saying they will play if the things they want to see change get changed. Where does that stand in your mind, the coalition?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think these guys obviously have things that they're really passionate about right now, and understandably so. There's a lot of stuff in our country that, I think it's obviously worth discussing and trying to change in a positive way. And, you know, in a position like this, if these guys can use their influence to make some of those changes happen, I think all the credit to them, right? At the same time, I don't think it's necessarily a situation where they're demanding, you know, do this stuff, we're not going to play. I mean, it certainly seems like they're going to sit down and talk with the league. And, you know, from everything that we've seen about the NBA over the past, you know, however many decades, right, this is a league that has tried to partner with its players on this stuff in the past, and they see no reason to think that they won't be willing to do so again here with the players now to try to, you know, enact some of these changes that they would, that they'd like to see happen.
Tim, you looked at some of these protocols, talked about some of these protocols in articles that you've written, the health protocols that will be involved in this bubble. One of the things I'm curious about, and I heard Windhorst talk about this a little bit, James Harden has asthma. He apparently has a pretty real case of asthma.
So does JaVale McGee, by the way.
JaVale McGee. What happens if somebody, a player with an underlying condition, doesn't feel comfortable going to the bubble?
I mean, I think in that case, they'll be paid their salary and they won't have to go. I mean, I think that's still being sorted out. But, you know, it seems like the league has been fairly consistent on that. And that if for a health reason you're not able to go, whether it's a player or a coach, nobody's going to be penalized for that. So, I mean, again, I don't want to be necessarily held 100% to that because they're still finalizing this stuff. But, I think that's the way this will go in the end. If it's unsafe for somebody to go for a health reason.
We're talking to Tim Bontemps from ESPN. Tim, they released this 33-page document today to the teams that are going to cover the guidelines of what's going to happen on the Orlando campus. Is there, you've seen that, I haven't. Is there anything in that document that's a potential roadblock to getting people down there? Is there anything where you think the players are going to fight back on? Or have they been involved with this from the beginning, and so there's probably no surprises?
Yeah, I mean, again, everything is fluid here, so I don't want to necessarily say that, you know, everything is copacetic between the players and the league on this stuff, but I think your point is right. Chris Paul and Michelle Roberts, the union president and executive director, have been basically doing this hand-in-hand with Adam Silver from the beginning. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that, you know, I've seen in that memo is stuff that's already been reported, right? So it's kind of all coalesced together in one document now, but I think a lot of it isn't going to come as a great shock to anybody. It's things that, you know, the league has been working on for weeks and weeks now, and it's just a matter of, you know, codifying it and putting it in print for, you know, all in one place for people to be able to reference back to and look at.
Do we know what happens if, and, you know, maybe given what's gone on with Ezekiel Elliott and some guys in baseball, if somebody tests positive?
No. I mean, we don't. That's one thing I haven't seen the league say yet, which is, you know, how they're going to handle that stuff. You know, I think that's one of the things I'm waiting to see when they officially lay out the whole protocol is how it'll be handled. I mean, I imagine it'll be guys will be quarantined in the room and tested regularly. But, you know, my memory might be failing me because we've been reporting on this stuff for months now. But I don't think that's anything that's been officially laid out yet in terms of what the exact protocols would be.
Tim Bontemps from ESPN is with us. Tim, we've asked very few of anybody we've had on to talk about this because, as you point out, the situation's been so fluid. We're still not even 100% sure this Orlando campus is going to happen. But let's assume for the sake of our conversation that it does. Most right. people feel there are three teams with a legit chance to win the titles. Lakers, Clippers, Bucks. Do you put anyone else on that list that in your mind would have a legit chance to walk away with this thing?
I mean, I think those three teams are the favorites, but I mean, we're walking into a pretty unique circumstance, right? I mean, would it stun me if a Toronto or a Boston or, you know, Houston or Denver or some team got hot and, you know, somebody got sick or hurt and they ended up sneaking through and winning? I mean, it wouldn't stun me, right? I'd be surprised. And I would put those three teams at the top if everybody's healthy. But, you know, we're walking into a pretty unprecedented situation here. And, you know, I do think there's at least a chance that you could have some surprises along the way, or you could have guys get hurt that are unexpected. But if you just go back to the, you know, 65 game, you know, the roughly 80% of the season that's been played, in my opinion, those are the three best teams in the league. And, you know, I think if you are, you know, betting them or the field, you know, to me, the odds would be pretty astronomically long on the field at that point. I think if I could say I'll take those three teams and, you know, the champion's going to come from them, I feel pretty good about my chances of being right.
You know, I'm pretty Laker-centric here. I'm wondering if you think that this layoff will help or hurt the Lakers. And in one respect, they seem to be peaking. They seem to be improving. They had just come off that win over Milwaukee. They had just come over that win with the Clippers. Do you think that this helps or hurts the Lakers?
I mean, this is probably going to sound like a cop-out answer, but I think it could go both ways. You know, I think on the positive side, I think the fact that, you know, LeBron James and some of the veterans, you know, it's a pretty old Lakers team. The fact that they get 4 months to kind of rest their bodies and kind of, you know, go into the playoffs, you know, you think relatively fresh. They're not going to have to really play for anything in those eight seeding games in Orlando. They can use it all. It's basically a tune-up for the playoffs. I think that is going to be a positive thing. I think, frankly, if they play the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, it's going to be a pretty big negative that they're not going to be playing at Staples Center. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it would have been at least probably 5.5 home games for them just based off of what the crowd is going to be like at the arena. So if you're playing seven neutral site games instead, theoretically, that's probably a benefit to the Clippers. And if you're talking about playing over 3 months where you have guys playing every other day, you got an older team, you know, you could have some wear and tear on bodies at that point too. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, like we were just talking about, if the Lakers are one of the best teams in the league, which I think everybody agrees they are, if everybody walks in with basically even footing, you know, I think in the end that's probably going to work out to their favor, just because, you know, you would expect that if everybody's got a fairly equal shot, the best teams are going to rise to the top.
Tim, we really appreciate you doing this, man. I know you were tight on time, and we appreciate you making some for us. Thanks very much.
Anytime, guys. Happy to do it. Look forward to doing it again soon.
Okay,
all right,
see
cool.
Ya.
There's Tim Bontemps from ESPN. So this 33-page manual, we still have. Do you think, will they make that public?
I think it'll get public. I think people like Ramona will get their hands on it. And obviously anyone who's going into the campus will get their hands on it. You would think they'd give them a copy. So, like he was saying, Mace, most of it's probably been reported already. The thing that's interesting is what are the rules once you go in? Like, Jared Dudley said that the players are gonna police themselves, like the players,
right.
But what if a player wants to leave or wants to have his wife or his girlfriend come in or go out? And I don't say this to be flippant. What's the deal with conjugal visits?
Right.
It
sounds like 7 weeks or 6 weeks. You're kind of, I don't want to use the term locked up, but you're kind of locked up in the bubble.
Yeah, and there's been talk that you could let your families in, or, you know, anybody you wanted in, like around the time of the conference finals, but that still could be 5-6 weeks out.
Yeah.
So they are, like Adam Silver said it last night. I don't know if we have any of that, but Adam Silver was on with Greenberg last night, and he admitted up front, he goes, this is not going to be for everybody. There are going to be people that sit this out.
Funch, you have that?
Whether there be for health concerns or whether it be. Here's Adam Silver last night with Mike Greenberg on ESPN.
But I can only say it may not be for everyone. I mean, it will entail enormous sacrifice on behalf of those players and for everyone involved, the coaches, the referees. Listen, it's not an ideal situation. We're trying to find a way to our own normal in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of essentially a recession or worse with 40 million unemployed, and now with enormous social unrest in the country. And so as we work through these issues, I can understand how some players may feel that it's not for them. And as you said, it could be for a host of reasons. It may be for family reasons. It may be for health reasons they have, or it may be because they feel, as some players have said very recently, that their time is best spent elsewhere.
And you know what, Mace?
What happens if it's not for them? Do they still get paid if it's not for them?
Yes, that's the first thing he said. We didn't play that part of it. But they still get paid. There's a small... They don't get paid, like, it's something like 1/92nd of their salary or 1/82nd of their salary for each game they miss gets affected, but they still get paid the majority of their salary. And I honestly think, I'm curious what you think, that if somebody said, you know what, I don't feel safe. I live with my grandparents, they're older, I see my mom every day, I have little kids, and my kids have pre-existing conditions. It's just, I'm not going. I don't think that person would be overly criticized. I think people would let it go. Am I being naive?
Well, let's talk about that next. Plus, John, I've got a whole bunch of headlines that we haven't talked about, and we'll get some of your phone calls in, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN, Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN. All right, let's get some headlines in. Mason, Ireland, you, 710-ESPN. John, yesterday, Roger Goodell openly encouraged an NFL team to sign Colin Kaepernick. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe says that the New England Patriots are the perfect landing spot. Finn thinks that Belichick has such a strong culture that they could handle the controversy better than anybody. Their current backup is Brian Hoyer. Is Kaepernick a good fit in New England?
He wouldn't be a bad fit in New England, but I still think the best place for him, Mace, is Kansas City, because they have an entrenched quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. They have a veteran coach in Andy Reid. They have an owner in Lamar Hunt, who is very popular with the other owners, and they're the current Super Bowl champs. So there would be no clamoring to get Kaepernick in the game, but he would provide them with a great option if Patrick Mahomes got hurt. And remember, Mahomes got hurt last year. He missed three or four games last year. So I think that's the best fit for Kaepernick. And Louis Riddick from ESPN says the Rams is the best fit for Kaepernick. What do you think?
I think the Rams would be a fantastic fit for Kaepernick. As a Rams fan right now, last year we had Blake Bortles. I wouldn't have had to hold my breath if Blake Bortles came into the game if Jared Goff was injured. But right now the backup quarterback is John Wolford, who has never taken a snap in the NFL. Now, if I'm Sean McVay, if I am Les Snead, what I'm thinking about is if Jared Goff gets hurt for any reason, if he has to leave the game for any reason, am I really going to turn the team over to John Wolford? To me, that's really, really scary. You need a guy with some experience there. And I would love to see Colin Kaepernick sign with the Rams. I would be completely open to that. And by the way, I think he would be embraced in Los Angeles. All right, so there are odds about whether or not Colin Kaepernick is going to be on a team next year. What do you think the odds are?
Probably 9-1, 10-1.
So the no is 1-3. So overwhelmingly, the betting choice is that he will not be on a team.
Right.
Yes is 2-1. So not impossible, but still longer odds. Do you think Kaepernick will be on a team next year?
I have a feeling he gets invited to camp. But I don't know if he's on a team. If I had to bet it, so I don't duck your question. If I had to bet it, I would say no. Because I don't even know if Colin wants to play. It's now to the point where the league needs him more than he needs the league.
Right.
So I think it would be up to him. I would guess if you said you have to bet it, I would bet no. How about you?
I would also bet no. I don't think. I mean, it would be helpful right now if Colin Kaepernick stepped out and said, "Yep, you know what? Roger Goodell says you can sign me. He's encouraging you to sign me, and I want to play. I've been training nonstop. I've been waiting for this moment. Count me in." But he hasn't said anything right now, so we have no understanding, no knowledge of what Colin Kaepernick's intentions are at the moment. So, yeah, I think the answer is no, and I think you're right. I don't think anybody knows if Colin Kaepernick really wants to play. All right, a fan on Instagram pleaded with Cleveland Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield to stand during the national anthem. Mayfield answered that he is absolutely going to kneel. How does this change your view of Mayfield, and how will the NFL players who choose to not kneel be viewed?
The second part of your question is fascinating. If half the team's kneeling and the other half isn't,
yeah,
doesn't that indicate a pretty clear divide? I mean, I think whatever you do, you got to do it. This was Buddy Ryan's old thing. I don't care what you guys do, just do it together. So that's going to be a fascinating aspect of this. For example, will the white guys, like Chris Long, you know, was very willing to kneel for his teammates.
Mayfield says he's going to kneel.
Right. Are you going to look dumb if you don't kneel? Is Drew Brees going to kneel?
Would you kneel?
If I was on a roster, yes. If it was important enough to my teammates, I would join my teammates. I think you have to whatever you do, you have to get it together. You got to do it as a group. So yeah, if the majority of my teammate was kneeling, I would join him.
Yeah, I absolutely would too. I absolutely would.
Well, you know, if you're in your seats at the Ram game, are you going to kneel? There's going to be fans that kneel.
Do you think there are going to be fans that kneel?
I absolutely think there's going to be fans that kneel. Don't you, Lindsay? Do you think that fans are going to kneel all over the country?
Yeah, for sure. Plenty of people will be.
So you think fans in the stands are going to kneel?
I do.
You think the beat writer for the Times in the press box is going to kneel?
I don't think the people in the press box necessarily are going to kneel just because it's a working environment. But fans aren't. You're there on your own dime. You're not there as an ESPN employee. You paid for those seats.
Well, if that becomes a thing, if fans kneeling becomes a thing, I would kneel.
But why wouldn't you start it?
Because I don't know if it's going to be a thing. I don't know if fans are going to kneel.
So you wouldn't be, you wouldn't start it, but you would join in if somebody else did it.
I would join in if other people were doing it, yes.
Yeah.
But I don't, I mean, the you're in stands. I mean, you're locked into rows. I don't even know how you do kneel if you're in the middle of a row.
Well, as long as you haven't gained like a ton of weight, you could probably.
I've got my COVID-15. I've gained my COVID-15. You know, the freshman 15. I've got my COVID-15.
But I absolutely do think that if fans are allowed into NFL stadiums this year, that some fans will kneel.
I would kneel too. Then, if other fans are doing it, I'm going to do it. All right, Deion Sanders did a sit down with Antonio Brown over the weekend. He's mentoring him toward a return to the NFL. Sanders says, and he wrote this in his book, at one point he became intoxicated with his own primetime persona, and it almost suffocated him. Deion says that when he hit rock bottom, he actually attempted suicide. John, do you think it's harder to be a superstar in sports than we know?
I don't know if it's harder, but I think Antonio Brown has CTE. I think that if you look at his behavior, I've talked to him, like Marcellus, about this. I think that if you look at his pattern of behavior and the way he has basically blown up his own career, that is one of the symptoms of CTE, is that you do things that are completely out of character and you don't even necessarily know you're doing them. So I think Antonio Brown is a tremendously talented football player, and I'd love to see him back out there. But I wonder how good that is for his own personal health. I'd hate to see what happens to him, though, if he doesn't get back out there. I think that he may, out of sight, out of mind, may be dangerous for him. I hope he's seeing some people, because just the way he behaved and the way he acted didn't seem normal to me. I mean,
no, he's incredibly erratic. I mean, one day he's saying one thing, the next day he's saying completely the opposite. He's busting up furniture in his apartment somewhere. He still has this domestic assault thing floating around out there, which I don't know where the NBA or where the NFL is in investigating that. I mean, he's really all over the place, and he does need help. It's good that Deion Sanders is mentoring. Mentoring, I think, is a key way that somebody can start to deal with their issues. And Deion is a great guy to be doing that. And did you ever heard that Deion once tried to commit suicide?
I didn't know he tried to commit suicide, but I remember when he was, if you go back and look at him early in his career, there's an interview on YouTube where he basically answers a question with, leave me alone, I'm going to go count my money.
Yeah, right.
And then there's that locker room where he just kept throwing buckets of water on Tim McCarver just because he could do it. And if you watch him now on the NFL Network and the way he handles himself, he's just a different guy.
But you've talked about this. You've talked about this with professional athletes, that everybody wants a piece of you, and it is demanding in a different way to be a superstar.
Well, you lose your anonymity.
Right.
Like, LeBron can't just go to the supermarket.
Nope. Do you ever get recognized at the supermarket?
Sure. People say, hey, Jim Hill, how are you?
I'll say Jim Hill.
They do, and I say, keep the faith, and I keep walking.
You bear absolutely no resemblance
to
Jim Hill.
Well, that's what makes it funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Florida Republican Matt Gaetz plans to introduce legislation to defund the U.S. Soccer Federation after Team USA's decision to allow players, if they want to take a knee during the national anthem at U.S. national games. Do you think this gets any support?
In Florida, of course. Florida is full of a bunch of weird people. But
he's a Republican congressman in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, I don't think it'll pass. I think that soccer is a growing sport. You know, President Trump came out and said he's not going to watch soccer anymore. I think there are plenty of people left over to watch soccer. What I would encourage U.S. soccer to do is get somebody to run the men's program who's as good as the person who's been running the women's program. The women are so much better than the men that the reason I don't watch men's soccer is because our team stinks.
Right.
But I'll watch the women every week because they either win the gold medal or win the world championship every time they take the field. Is there a sport, any other sport, where there is a bigger disparity between the sexes than soccer in the United States? Like, we have great women's tennis players, and we have some great men's tennis players. Right now,
although, the women have outshined the men for about a decade, haven't they?
In tennis?
The Williams sisters.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there isn't.
We haven't had a dominant man.
Yeah, the big two are Djokovic and Federer and Nadal, the big three. And none of them are American. In tennis, Venus and Serena, especially Serena, has been on top of the world.
Yeah.
And now Naomi Osaka, even though she competes for Japan. She's from New York.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And she's going to be dominant for the next several years. So tennis would be the closest thing. But, I mean, if you look at the disparity between the success of the women's program in soccer and the success of the men, it's night and day.
Yeah. All right, last one here. Ford stopped making the Bronco in 1996. They're relaunching the brand after 14 years on July the 9th. It is O.J. Simpson's birthday.
Whoa.
Can that possibly be a coincidence?
No way. Somebody at Ford's having a lot of fun with the public.
They're relaunching the Bronco on O.J. Simpson's birthday, and they're saying that's accidental. It's just surprising circumstance.
There was There was a 1 in 365 chance that that would fall on that day. Come on. Somebody's messing with us.
Yeah, I mean, always, and I know they're relaunching the Bronco, and I hope, you know, I'm not pissing off an advertiser or whatever, but I'm sorry. Whenever I think about Bronco, I'll think O.J.
Don't you think
that's the case? Bronco, OJ.
Yeah, I think the white Bronco that AC was driving that day sold for a bunch of money. You know, it didn't. I don't think that was bad for the Bronco. Apparently they did. They killed
it.
But
they killed it. Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, we'll get some of your phone calls in. 877-710-ESPN. There's a ton of stuff going on. We'll circle back to one of the big stories of the day, which is Major League Baseball and whether or not it will return. We've talked to Bob Nightingale, who thinks it's 100% chance. The question is, will you forget all of this nasty negotiating between the two? Will you forgive that, or is it going to stick in your craw and it's going to affect your love for the game? 877-710-ESPN, Mason Ireland, 710-ESPN. And I've got a statement, a two-word statement. John, I'd like to release to the public right now.
Which is?
Screw you. I tweeted out a photo of me in my Rams hat and my Rams mask.
Uh-oh.
And I said, I'm ready for my first Rams game at SoFi Stadium, whenever that is, and I am getting so much negative feedback. Screw you is my public statement.
Is the Rams hat the you-know-what hat?
Or I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what that means.
Oh, your mask has it. Your mask is the D-head mask. I just looked at the picture.
And the hat is the D-head hat.
Yeah. Yeah, now you're going to take some crap for that.
It's our logo.
It's one of
totally
your logos.
Dig it. I totally dig it. I dig that logo.
Yeah, Eric Dickerson says it looks like a penis.
Oh, his initials are E-D.
Exactly. Hey, have you noticed that when, you know, everybody's trying to cancel everybody in this society of ours
now? Okay,
well,
explain what you mean by cancel everybody.
If somebody says something questionable or does something questionable, social media calls for that person's head.
Okay, so get...
For example...
Yes.
Yesterday...
Yep.
Mike Gundy, the coach at Oklahoma State, the football coach... was wearing an OAN shirt. He was on a fishing trip. Now, OAN is an extreme right-wing news operation that many feel could be run by a Russian bot.
Well, wacky,
I have no idea.
Weird. They've described Black Lives Matter as a terrorist organization.
Right. And when the leading rusher for Oklahoma State, matter of fact, leading rusher in the country last year, he just plays for Oklahoma State, saw it, he tweeted, this is unacceptable. Something's got to change. And they did a video yesterday, Mike Gundy and this player, where they both are kind of ham-handedly apologizing to each other. And Gundy got hammered for it because people felt like he wasn't sincere in his apology. So then Gundy issued a video right before we went on the air today. And listen to how specific he gets in the video, because his first apology clearly wasn't good enough. Here's Gundy today, and this is only him on the video.
I had a great meeting with our team today. Our players expressed their feelings as individuals and as team members. They helped me see through their eyes how the T-shirt affected their hearts. Once I learned how that network felt about Black Lives Matter, I was disgusted and knew it was completely unacceptable to me. I want to apologize to all members of our team, former players, and their families for the pain and discomfort that has been caused over the last 2 days. Black lives matter to me. Our players matter to me. These meetings with our team have been eye-opening and will result in positive changes for Oklahoma State football. I sincerely hope the Oklahoma State family, near and far, will accept my humble apology as we move forward.
And Mace, what I'm noticing here is, if you don't say Black Lives Matter, if you don't address the issue head on, it's just not good enough anymore. People are going to, you know, people have had it. That's why I think Roger Goodell said it twice in his video.
Right. When, but you don't, I don't think those words you necessarily have to say. You can talk about, you know, social justice reform. You can talk about police brutality. You can. There are other ways to phrase it without saying Black Lives Matter.
I don't think so. See if you can find what Max Kellerman said about James Dolan when Mace was on vacation last week. When the Knicks issued a statement, it was a very generic, bland statement.
But if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, they released a statement at some point that said they don't want their employees to release statements or to make public statements about anything to do with social unrest. Is that not where it started with James Dolan?
Right. And then they said, so then he changed his mind and he apologized. But then listen to, you know, Max, who's a Knicks fan.
Sure. But not a Dolan fan.
Right. Went on First Take the next day and said this.
Well, those are all good sentiments, and we should all share those values for sure. But let me ask something of this clown organization. It took you 2 weeks plus to come up with that? 2 weeks to come up with that? A grade school kid could come up with that today, like right now. If I gave them the assignment in 5 minutes, write something about values that we should share as a society. 5 minutes, a grade school kid could write that. It took the New York Knicks, a multi-billion dollar organization, more than 2 weeks? So that's one. That is pathetic, James Dolan. Pathetic. Just like your organization, which finishes dead last or near to it basically every year for decades now. Congratulations. The second thing is, say Black Lives Matter. It's not hard. Just say Black Lives Matter. Can you write that somewhere in your statement? Can you say George Floyd's name? What are you afraid of? What is Dolan afraid of? He can't have one of his flunkies write Black Lives Matter or say the name George Floyd. What is he afraid of? It's easy. Black Lives Matter. George Floyd, his life mattered. Say his name. Write it down. Send it out. I do not see, this is the latest example, but maybe this will be the final straw for some people. I had a final straw years ago watching Dolan mishandle the team of my boyhood, the team that I rooted for, at least the franchise. Until he does say Black Lives Matter or George Floyd's name in an official Knicks press release, I don't see how you can root for this team.
And I think Max is, and the reason I wanted to bring this up is, I think Max makes a good point. We need to know that you get it now.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm just looking at the statement. I mean, honestly, this could have been written in crayon. It's 35 words. He released a 35-word statement that is about as generic as you could possibly get. He doesn't talk about police brutality. He doesn't talk about criminal justice reform. He doesn't talk about pushing for racial justice. He should be embarrassed. Now, whether the words are, you know, about George Floyd and 8 minutes and 46 seconds on that man's neck, murdering him by a police officer, or whether that is using the phrase Black Lives Matter, which is obviously powerful right now. Roger Goodell did use the words Black Lives Matter in his statement originally when he talked about this the other day. So, yeah, I think Black Lives Matter is important, but I also think you do have to demonstrate that you get it. You do have to understand. I mean, listen to, I mean, it's 35 words. I can read James Dolan's statement. Every one of us has a role to play in creating a more just and equal society where there is no racism, bigotry, violence, or hate. We stand with all who act for positive change. Talk about not getting it.
Right.
35 friggin' words. That honestly, there are second grade teachers that would say that right now.
Right. But my point in bringing this up is 5 years ago with Eric Garner, it was I can't breathe. We're way past that now. We're way past that now. People are they're paying attention to and when Mike Gundy made that video yesterday, nobody was buying it.
Well, here's my question, John. Why did the running back, what's his name, Chuba, I think, right?
Yeah.
Why did he have to apologize?
I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, I mean, why did you make that kid apologize for calling his coach out on something as virulent as wearing an OAN t-shirt?
And why make him appear with you? We had this discussion when you were gone last week, too. Iowa had to fire their strength coach because it turns out they had a racist strength coach. And then all of a sudden, all these black players, current and former, came out of the woodwork and said, Kirk Ferentz, our coach, doesn't get it. You know, he enabled that coach for a long time, and Kirk Ferentz doesn't get it. So on Friday, Kirk Ferentz held a press conference to address these charges that he has allowed a lot of racist behavior among his coaching staff. And Ferentz brought three players with him.
Yeah, see?
And I thought that was incredibly gutless.
That's just
like you're hiding yourself
as props is what it's doing.
Right.
That's embarrassing.
So what you saw today with Gundy was Gundy by himself facing the music and clearly getting it that yesterday, whatever that was, when he tried to make a kid stand next to him to give him political cover, wasn't going to work. It appears that Oklahoma State is going to keep him. But that's what today's statement was about, was that showing those players. Because think about it. The best players on his team are black.
Sure.
You know, and yesterday that apology was some ham-handed, you know, I don't know what. And today was his attempt to clean it up.
Yeah, I saw Paul Feinbaum today talk about Gundy and said he doesn't know why they keep him anyway. He's 2-15 against Oklahoma over the years.
I don't know if he's ever beaten Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think Feinbaum said he's beaten him twice.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it's not as if he's blowing the world away. And it does seem like he's embarrassed the school sufficiently on a number of occasions now. I wouldn't have stood for this. I wouldn't have stood for this. There's a better guy to coach Oklahoma State than Mike Gundy. There's no way he didn't know what OAN was. You don't accidentally put on an OAN t-shirt. That's a set of beliefs. I'm sorry. That's a set of beliefs. And you can call that canceling. I would call that firing.
Well, except they didn't fire him.
Right, but I would have. I would have fired him. He's free to go coach somewhere else, but I'd fire him. That's a set of beliefs. 877-710-ESPN. We will circle back around to this idea of the bubble and what Avery Bradley and Kyrie Irving and this Players Coalition have talked about today. Some real concrete things could be accomplished with this. 877-710-ESPN, Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. So earlier today, Avery Bradley talked to Woj from ESPN and said, regardless of how much media coverage will be received, talking and raising awareness about social injustice isn't enough. Protesting during an anthem wearing t-shirts is great, but we need to see real actions. And they have accomplished, at least so far, moved in the direction of real action on the part of the NBA.
And I think yesterday people were a little guilty of wanting to take down the messenger rather than listen to the message when we heard Kyrie and Avery Bradley and Dwight Howard were all talking about not playing. Because today, everybody seems to be focused on what they're asking for. And what they're asking for, Mace, is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, yeah. Asking for opportunities for black executives, asking for ownership to be more involved in the Black Lives Matter movement, more involved in local underserved communities, minority neighborhoods, owners being more involved in social justice issues. That's what is being asked by Avery Bradley and Kyrie Irving and the lot. Although I'll tell you, Kyrie Irving's kind of all over the place.
Well, isn't that kind of his nature?
I mean, now this story has come out that Kyrie Irving has told people he thinks that the players should just start their own league. What is he talking about?
Well, that's very, very hard to do.
Oh, it's impossible. You can't beat the NBA.
I mean, the ABA was actually a pretty decent league, and it couldn't compete with the NBA.
No. But I mean,
the ABA
he's all
had
over
George
the board.
George Gervin and Dr. J and Dan Issel and all these great players, and they were forced to join the NBA. So, but I mean, Kyrie, wasn't he an Earth is flat guy?
Yeah.
I mean, he's out there. Here's a guy named Mason.
Hey, Mason
in Temecula. Who disagrees with you about Mike Gundy. Hey, Mason.
Hey, how you guys doing? I used to watch your show for when you guys were on TV for Fox Sports, so it's a long-time listener.
Awesome, man. Thank you very much.
I just want to hear your opinion on
okay,
this.
What don't you agree with?
Well, he wore a shirt, you know, and he should have the right to wear a T-shirt. And he's out fishing with this kid. I mean, it's just he's out there fishing. I don't think he was even trying to do anything. It's just like wearing a T-shirt.
Do you think he knows what the T-shirt means? Do you think he knows what that network is about?
Even if he does, it's his opinion, isn't it? He's out there with his kid fishing.
He coaches a predominantly black team, and he is wearing a T-shirt for a network that believes Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization. You really think he put on that T-shirt by accident?
But I mean, you could say MSNBC, they've done a lot of...
No, I don't want to... I want to make this distinction.
Oh,
Fox News Channel is one thing. They disagree. MSNBC has left. Fox News Channel is right. What OAN is some crazy, wacky conspiracy. I mean, you would not hear Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization on Fox News Channel. You would only hear that on OAN.
Yeah, but I'm just, what I'm saying is he has a right to wear a T-shirt.
Okay, so Mason, let me ask you this. Because Mason in Temecula.
Yeah.
If the shirt said KKK, would you be okay with it?
No, that's different, though.
Well, wait a minute. You just said he can wear a shirt that says whatever he wants.
Well, he's got to represent the school, but who's to say that One World, the OAN, is not a booster for his team? It could be a team booster.
I'm saying there's a limit to anything. If he was wearing a shirt with an obscenity on it, or was wearing a shirt with the N-word, you wouldn't be okay with that. So if you're boiling it down to it's just a shirt, he should be able to wear whatever he wants. There's always limits to everything.
Yeah, that's a really specific shirt to be wearing. If he was wearing a Fox News Channel shirt, that would be a completely different scenario.
But he's out there fishing with his son. He doesn't think that he's wearing that shirt for anything, but he's out there fishing with his son. They caught fish. They took a picture. And at the end of the day, you know.
There was a picture with him wearing that shirt. He put himself out there wearing that shirt.
But how can you say that's wrong to wear that shirt? It's just a T-shirt.
Okay. Mason, do you think it was wrong when Colin Kaepernick was photographed wearing the socks that depicted cops as pigs?
He has a right. That's his right.
Right. I'm just saying. So you can do that. But there's going to be consequences. And that's what Mike Gundy found out this week.
But how could you say fire the coach for wearing a T-shirt? He's the winningest coach in Oklahoma State's their history. I mean, you can't fire a coach for wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah, I wouldn't fire him.
I would fire him. I would fire him.
To say Black Lives Matter, it's fine. But, you know, cops, there was 10 cops, 10 people killed by cops last year, black people, in 2019.
That is absolutely untrue. There were 10, you're saying there were 10 black people killed by cops last year?
10 black people unarmed that were killed by cops.
Yeah, I actually think it's 9.
Well, there was a woman too. It was nine. It was 9 men and 1 woman.
Okay.
And 5 attacked. So it's like I'm tired of hearing about the cops like so bad. I mean, I'm not.
All right. I know. Now I know where you're coming from, Mason.
All right. Thanks for calling, man. It is.
Eventually, you reveal yourself.
Well, but his point is that there are overwhelmingly a lot of the police officers are doing good work. But
right. But he's tired of hearing about. Black people complaining.
Here's where I would attack his argument. I heard it was 9. He heard it was 10. It's back to what you said earlier in the show. It's the Chris Rock argument. One is too many. This is one of those jobs where you're not allowed to be bad at that job. You're not allowed, you know, Chris Rock used the pilot analogy. We have a pilot. He's a little sloppy. He flew into the side of a mountain. No, you would never allow it. You can't allow armed people to shoot unarmed people. Even one is too many. So, I mean, his argument is the percentage of people that, but it's over. I mean, that's the movement, is that people are tired of the case you brought up earlier in the show. That happened just last weekend, even after all the protests. That kid was running away. They shot him in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's you've got to know, if you're wearing that shirt, what it means. And by the way,
he does now.
He's smart. He's a smart guy. He's been coaching a D1 program for years now. He's got to know what that shirt means. 877-710-ESPN. Actually, Game of Games is coming up next.
Do we do that at 5?
Oh, no. Game of Games is next hour.
Yeah.
Game of Games. So coming up next, more of your calls, 877-710-ESPN, Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN.